You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. That's one part blah, 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 one part ha, 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 and just a smidgen of ta-da!
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you, thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Please save your applause until the end of the program when I've actually done something worth applauding. Hey, welcome to the show. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. My name's in the title, right in the center. Right in the center of the title, that's me. Thanks for being here. I'll be entertaining you for the next 30 minutes, and then not at all. It's the Friday edition of the program, which means this is going to last you through the weekend. Good luck. The show is heard on syndicated radio stations across the country, as well as all of those social media stupid platforms. All of them. Pandora, Amazon Music, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, I Don't Heart Radio, Blatensteins, Mr. Fishin's, the podcast shows, the Apple, the podcast, the thing with the shoes in the middle and the feet coming out of the shoes. All right. Let me introduce some of the people that make the show possible. I do this toward the end of the week in order to give people credit for what they do. John Shanahan is your announcer. He's also the comedy writer for many of the bits on this program. He's incredible, ladies and gentlemen. John Shanahan, you can go to Hypnagogue, go to our website, newenglandbroadcasting.com. At the bottom, you'll see that link to John's radio show. He's pretty cool. And then there's amazing and talented, oh my God, how does he do it, Jason Shaw. He composes and performs the theme musics and the background music's on this show for us. Thank you, Jason Shaw. You're an incredible man. I don't know you personally, but I assume you're okay. I only take you for what you produce, and you do a fine job. And then there's Nicole Reed. She's the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. She's not really British. Oh, my God, I let everybody know she's not British. And she also books many of the national acts that we have on the program, the national interviews, because I'm incapable of just about everything. Okay, that's enough. I have admitted to you many times before that I know nothing about social media for two reasons. One is because I know nothing about social media, and the other is I don't care. I'm supposed to care. I've talked about this before, infinitum. Oh, my God. I have a social media manager, and she tells me that I must request you to like me. I have to get down on my freaking knees and plead with you to like some aspect of me. Perhaps it's what I say. Perhaps it's my cute little dimples. Maybe it's the fact that my ass curvature is very attractive to some people. I don't know. But like something that I do, will you do at least that? And here's the catch with social media. You can like people with not even liking them. You can be friends with people with not even knowing who they are. That's the great thing about social media. Nothing. Theoretically, it threads us all in our lives into one large society of people. But it doesn't do that. It divides us and splits us up. So it does the opposite of what the intention was. Oh my God, that didn't work out, did it? How many things don't work out on a large scale? Everything. I'm even questioning democracy at this point. That ain't working out either, apparently. Look, this is crazy stuff, man. So I'm supposed to ask you to like me. Let me tell you something about myself. I am so, so nice. I am so, so likable. I love everything that I see with a passion. I want to make the world a better place, failing miserably at it, but I'm still trying very, very hard. I'm trying to give everybody hope and happiness and stability and foundation and respect, all that stuff. So I'm a really nice person. The least you can do, and I'm talking about the least, you couldn't do any less if you tried, is to just click something on that screen somewhere. I don't know what you're listening to the show on. Just like me. You don't even have to like me to like me. You can like the show. You don't even have to like the show anymore. Just click on something positive that results in some type of nice thing for me. And I would appreciate that. Now, as if that weren't enough, and it really should be because I don't even know what I'm talking about, now you're supposed to follow me too. Now, that doesn't mean that you try to, follow me physically because this is ridiculous. Just follow the things that I do. It does sound stupid. I know that sounds stupid. But that's what my social media manager told me to do and told me to say. I'm like a puppet. I'm a puppet. She takes her hand, shoves it up my behind, and I'm supposed to talk accordingly. Ron, this is for your own good. It's for the popularity of the show. The show's already popular. I don't need it. Just do what I say, you little idiot. She's very commanding. So follow me, which means that when I do things, you follow me like I'm some kind of like uncharted Jesus or something. I mean, come on, man. Do what I do, eat what I eat, say what I say, touch what I touch. Follow me. Hey, everybody, come over here. Follow me. How do I get out of the IKEA store? I've been in here for 3 days. I can't find the exit. Hey, everybody, follow me and my show. I don't know how to get to the promised land. You promise you don't know? I'm promising you I don't know how to get to the promised land. Cross your fingers and hope to die. I'll cross my fingers, but I don't hope to die. Okay, then just follow me. Okay, where are you going? That's not important. Just follow me and like me. Just do it. Are you going to follow me and like me? No, I'm not. Now, if you're listening to this show on the radio, there's nothing you can do about it. Just, you can email me. I don't read them, but you can email me. You can do a lot of things. Just help me out here, okay? I'm doing very well otherwise, but I'm supposed to do this. So please like me and follow me. I don't know how many times I have to say this in one show. Okay, thank you very much. There'll be a little check in the mail. You know that's not true. All right, social comment for today. Here we go. This election coming up, let me tell you something about that. This national election coming up in November, let me tell you something about that. We're Americans. We are Americans. Here's what we do, and there's no arguing about this. Nothing. We do nothing. We don't do anything. When it comes time to vote, you'll vote and you'll do it right and you'll do what you really want to do at that point. All the influence so far ahead of time kind of doesn't make a big difference right now. Do you know why? Here's the tagline. It's coming up. Americans have no attention span whatsoever. They don't remember things. Now, if we've been done wrong, we remember that. You know, if you're a guy and you cheated on your girlfriend, she's going to remember that always, and she'll never trust you again. She will always remember that. And if you're a guy and someone did you wrong, you may beat them up or something because you have testosterone, and you'll never forget that. However, when it comes to the important stuff, like how you live your life, we don't carry anything beyond like 10 minutes. We can't. Remember January 6th when a lot of people stormed the Capitol and started stabbing police officers with American flags, running through the halls of what was supposed to be a sacred institution and wanting to hang people and kill them? Huh. Do you remember that? There's actually news footage on that from cell phones and all kinds of security cameras. It was really happening, and it was so horrendous. I don't think you remember that in the intensity of the way it actually happened when you saw it. And even if you saw it for yourself on all these videos, people still try to tell you, well, it wasn't really like that. You're interpreting that wrong. That was not an insurrection. That was not an angry mob. They did not storm the Capitol and start beating people up. No, they didn't. They didn't run through the halls and start defecating on the desks and trying to find people to kill them. No, it was a very peaceful tour of the Capitol building. Okay, look. Do you remember that day? Do you remember how this Trump president just sat in the White House and did nothing about it for hours, which means you condoned it, didn't? And his family called him, and members of Congress called him and said, what the fuck, Don? Stop this. Tell them to back off. They're listening to you. You just did a speech on the White House lawn telling them to go to the Capitol and seize things. What? Tell them to stop it. Nah, I don't want to do that. That because they're doing it for me, and I kind of appreciate what they're doing. Do you remember that? Do you remember that at all? We cannot carry a thought for more than a couple of minutes. And a lot of us can't sing and can't even carry a tune. But I think that when push comes to shove, and I'm shoving you and I'm pushing you, all of a sudden you're going to remember that. When it comes down to it. And I think that's going to happen. So I don't think it really matters much until a couple of weeks, maybe a month before the election, when everybody does their final arguments, when all the politicians chime in and they remind you about things. I think then maybe you'll come to your senses just a tad, one way or the other. Okay. Yeah, no, Americans, I have lost. I mean, this is a beautiful country. I've been around. It's a beautiful country. The people in it, not so much. Not so much. Has this country ever been so divided? Well, yeah, there was a civil war. Hello? Hello? Of course it's been more divided than this. Will we ever have a civil war again? I don't think so. Will we have rioting in the streets and violence? Yeah, I think that's not only a possibility. I think you better brace yourselves for it. Because examples have been given out as to how that is imminent. So, am I really enthralled with everything? No. It's because, as human beings, we just can't get it together. I've said this before as well. The human race, the things that inhabit the planet, that run it and do things, they don't know what humanity is. They never got it right. A vast number of people who inhabit this planet actually don't think into the future to the fact that they're destroying the only place that they could possibly exist upon. And if that's not in your lifetime, You're screwing up your children and their grandchildren. But people just are not smart enough to get it. They just don't get it. And why every living human being on this planet doesn't band together to preserve the planet and make it better so we can all have a rollicking good fucking time, I don't know. I don't get it. Why we have wars to kill other people on this planet, it's a big planet. We can coexist on it without shoving our viewpoints and our power upon other people. We can all coexist if we just respect each other. That's country to country as well. But we never did. We are a humanity of violence. It's in our blood as we spill it all over the place. So, what's my impression of humanity? It's not high on the list of impressions. Because since the beginning of time, we've proven that we consider survival of the fittest to be that above any type of Christian stuff, any kind of godlike stuff, violence, rules, power, forcing people to do things, having it your way. This entire planet is like Burger King. Have it your way and screw everybody else who wants it differently. Can everybody coexist? Yes. We can all coexist, and we can all be happy within our little worlds. But when you start pushing your world upon somebody else's world, that's when things get violent. That's when people get defensive. That's when people get angry. Now look, I'm not the Pope. I never played the Pope on TV. I should have. I'm pontificating, and I'm not solving anything. But there are ways to combat this immediately, and that's to do what I'm talking about. Just respect the other people, let them do their world, you do yours, and we all coexist and we're all happy. Why can nobody get this? Why are we out to destroy each other? I don't know. Why are the Republicans doing everything to see the Democrats fail? And the Democrats, the same with the Republicans. Why is Congress getting nothing done right now? Because if you get it done now, it'll look like Biden's a hero. Let's try to get Trump in there. Then he'll do these very things that Congress refuses to do now. And then Trump will be the hero. So we're being politically played. Is that to your satisfaction? It shouldn't be. Well, I've got the answer, but I don't want to exercise the answer because it'll make them look good. Okay, that's not working out. All right, we're going to take a commercial break. Then my guest will join us. That's enough pontificating for today. But seriously, man, someone's got to take a hold of the reins. Someone's got to come down from the mountain and say, look, you guys are screwing this whole planet up and everything that happens on a daily basis and the way you run things, you're all screwing this up badly. Follow me. Like me. Short commercial break, then my guest will join us. But first,
studies show that 1 in every 8 Americans suffers from icky personal stuff. From the embarrassing to the grotesque. From the what is this to the oh my God, what is that? Chances are someone you know, or maybe even you, are dealing with icky personal stuff right now. But there is help. If you or someone you love has icky personal stuff happening, call the Icky Personal Stuff Hotline at 1-899-YOU. That's 1-899-399-9999. Talk with trained counselors who can assess and recommend help for whatever icky personal stuff you may be going through. no matter where it's coming from or what it looks or smells like. And don't worry and don't be embarrassed. Our non-judgmental, icky personal stuff counselors are familiar with many of the more common and, frankly, uncommon things that can happen to various parts of the body. Seriously, these people have seen some unpleasant shit. Chunky things, oozy things, flaky things. This one guy who had fluids coming out of places most people don't even know they have. Fluids that his dog actually ran away from. Believe us, you may think you have it bad, but they've seen worse. Most likely. So don't wait until your icky personal stuff becomes tragic. And believe us, it does. Just ask the lady who basically fused to her living room couch and they had to use a blowtorch really carefully to melt whatever it was that was like caked between her and the couch, and it was coming out of this like hole the size of a half dollar, and it let out this high-pitched squeal when it came free of the fabric, like when you release a balloon real slow, that yeah, that happened. So before it happens to you, call the Icky Personal Stuff Hotline, 1-899-EU. Call now, especially if there's like blue stuff on you. Like if you leave bread out too long, that color blue. Yeah, call today.
Emily Metz joins us now. She's president and CEO of the American Egg Board. And hey, Egg Holiday is coming up. I call it Egg Holiday because you can eat the eggs, you can color them, they can come in chocolate, bunnies walk around with them. I mean, it's Egg Day, isn't it?
It is Egg Day. Well, we like to think of it as egg season, I'll be honest, Ron.
Okay.
We like to milk it for everything it's worth. This is our Super Bowl. We've got Easter, we've got Passover, we've got National Egg Salad Week. Of course, what do you do with all those dyed and decorated eggs? You make egg salad out of them after you've properly refrigerated them, of course.
Of course.
But, you know, this is our season, and it is egg season.
It is. And let's look at the tradition of the egg and the egg farmers. And even at the White House, they celebrate this. Tell us about that.
Especially at the White House, they celebrate it, is what I would say. So we've got a lot going on with the White House. So this is a 5 decades now we have come together, our farmers, who I'm honored to represent, have come together to produce a special egg for America's First Ladies. The first commemorative egg was actually presented to the first daughter, Amy Carter, and then it became a tradition after that to present it to America's First Ladies. Because all presidents get all the credit, and rightfully so, but our first ladies do a lot to serve this great nation of ours, and we wanted to do something that really highlighted them and their passions. So for the last 4 years, of course, Dr. Jill Biden, her passion for education really comes through in all of our eggs, and this year's egg will be no different. The fourth egg we're presenting to Dr. Jill Biden will be all around education and childhood possibilities and dreams. I don't know if you remember those big dreams you dreamt as a child.
I do.
And your imagination running wild, but that's really what's going to come through in the egg that we're presenting to Dr. Biden this year. And it's really a time-honored tradition. And then you look at that presentation, which happens on April 1st. That's no joke, Ron. It's actually April 1st this year. It's going to be the White House Easter egg roll.
Yeah.
And we've got more than 64,000 eggs coming to the Easter egg roll this year.
That's a lot of egg salad.
It's a lot of egg salad. It is a lot of egg salad.
Yeah.
So, coming from our farm in North Carolina.
I remember as a kid that my parents used to hide eggs all over the backyard and we have to go find them. And I looked forward to that every year. It was just a wonderful holiday. I don't know. It's just nice.
It is just nice. And that's really, I think, what people need a little more joy in their lives right now. They need to come back to that joy and those traditions. I think that's so important. And eggs are at the heart of all of those happy memories and all of those traditions.
Yeah.
So a lot of new things, though, to do with eggs this year. A lot of trends coming down the pike for us. We've got disco ball eggs. Disco is back, baby. Bell bottoms, grooviness, it's all coming back.
Really?
We've got a lot of people who are turning their eggs into little disco balls.
Wow.
It's really a trendy way to decorate. And then we've also got, have you heard of affirmations, Ron? You know, feeling you're so beautiful, you're so smart.
Of course.
Have a blessed day,
yeah,
those type of
all
things.
That stuff.
Well, Have you heard of egg formation?
So
you put your affirmation on an egg, and it becomes really a creative outlet for you, for your family. So lots of trends around egg formations this year as well.
Even the planet is somewhat shaped like an egg.
It is.
Yes.
The planet is a little shaped like an egg as well. And I think you're going to see some of those out-of-this-world themes in our First Lady egg when we present that to her.
That's wonderful. And then there's always the egg itself, which happens to be edible also. And I'll tell you a very quick story. Is I went on a diet recently, and I was told to have eggs a certain number of days of the week for protein purposes, etc. And I started losing weight. So, I mean, that's really big, too, eating them.
Eating them, true. That is obviously the most important thing to do with eggs, eat them, as you said. And clearly your doctor is in the know, because eggs are part of a heart-healthy and overall healthy diet. We've got big news hopefully coming out of the Food and Drug Administration here in about a month, declaring eggs healthy, which I think most people already knew that they were healthy, but this is just another feather in our cap, excuse the pun, about eggs and their healthfulness, and lots of protein in eggs. I mean, it is truly the perfect protein and something that's so affordable. I mean, two eggs a day, less than 40 cents for those bad boys, and just packs a wallop when it comes to protein and nutrition.
Absolutely. And there's so many ways to prepare them, but that's besides the point. And it's interesting that, eggs also have been very rich and expensive. Some of the best art and the most expensive items in museums have been these eggs, which is weird, too.
It is. You know, I think you're talking about Fabergé eggs.
Yes. Yeah.
Those are fancy eggs, and a lot of them, some of them use real eggs, but of course, all of our commemorative eggs are actual real chicken eggs.
Yeah.
Last year's egg, in fact, was two eggs in one. So we actually had on the outside a regular sized egg, and then on the inside is a pullet egg, which is an egg from a baby chick. And so a very small egg on the inside.
Yeah.
And so all of our eggs are real chicken eggs. And this year, actually, in addition to the First Lady's egg, we are going to have a colonnade of eggs, which is all of our National Guard families, their children, have designed eggs from representing every state, all 50 U.S. states, and four of our U.S. territories. And those will be displayed in the White House as well.
Wonderful. And there are donations to food banks. I mean, it's just all over the place. Where do we go for more information about eggs? I'm familiar with eggs, but all these applications are incredible.
Yep, you head on over to incredibleegg.org. And for all those decorating tips and fun things to do, are you an Instagrammer, Ron? You can find us on Instagram at incredibleegg.
No, I'm not, but other people are. So there you go.
There you go.
At
Incredible Egg on Instagram.
Okay. Are you ready for a couple of puns? Here we go. Well, thank you very, very much, Emily, for the egg-ucation. It's been exciting talking to you.
It has been exciting talking to you as well. And I hope you have a heck of a good springtime season. And happy Easter to you, Ron.
Thank you so much. Same to you. Again, go to incredibleegg.org. For all that general and specific information. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you to my guests and thank you to you. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.